since their nuclear weapons development. We can't just talk to them.
The U.S. accuses Iran of fostering terrorism, and Tehran's nuclear ambitions have brought about international reproach. Well, it may not be much, but there is a little relief at the gas pump this week.
At last, gasoline prices have slipped. After rising a whole dollar this year, they're down 7 cents, with regular grade now at $3.11 per gallon.
That's oil analyst Trilby Lundberg, who says gas prices may continue heading down for a while. She says there's also a possibility that prices could go way down. A shooting inside a home in southern Wisconsin has left 6 people dead, and the Delavan police chief says a toddler was found in a nearby vehicle with a gunshot wound to the chest. Police are not saying if there is a suspect in custody. This is SRN News.
News Talk
11, you know what the worst part is about having a great idea for a new product or a new...
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but... you've tried religion and it hasn't worked. Well, not all religions do work. That doesn't mean God isn't around. It's not his fault people invent stupid religions all the time. Maybe, just maybe, you've been in the wrong religion. Now, I'm not here to critique all religions today. This isn't a comparative religions class, but we do have a special guest who was brave enough to realize that just because he was brought up in one religion, that didn't automatically make his religion the right one. Heredity need not control our destiny. Now, that's not a popular idea today. That's not a politically correct idea today. Today, what is popular is to say all religions are the same. Each religion is one of many beautiful paths to God, and it just brings a tear to my eye. But face it, people, not all religions are good and not all religions are beautiful. The ancient Canaanite religions used to offer human babies on the altar to Baal, the god of fertility. I'm sorry, those were evil religions, and we would all agree, looking back with our 2020 hindsight, that they were evil religions. Could there be religions that have problems today? Waleed Shubat is an internationally known speaker, and many of you have heard him before on KCBQ, on other radio stations, and on television. Waleed was raised as a Muslim and brought up in the Middle East. He was raised to hate Jews, but converted to Christianity. Now, when a Muslim converts to Christianity, fellow Muslims are not usually too overwhelmed by the idea. And when a Muslim converts, it could mean a death sentence. I know you've heard that Islam is the religion of peace. Well, we hear a lot of things these days, but today you have a chance to actually hear the truth, and that's going to be a refreshing new experience, and you are going to hear the truth from one of the bravest men I have ever met. Waleed Shubat, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I had the honor of hearing you speak a couple of weeks ago at UC Irvine. You were fantastic. There were about 1,200 people. I did get the feeling, though, that it was mostly Christians and conservative Jews in the audience. I wished some of the Muslims on campus, I wish some of the faculty that teach ridiculous things on the campus had been there. But I could tell, because people were clapping at everything you said, that probably some of the people that needed to hear it were not there. Although I'm very grateful that you're educating Christians and conservative Jews, because they need the education as well.
Well, the university, the idea was to take back our universities, to show an overwhelming presence of conservative Jewish and Christian, to say that these universities belong to the community, belong to America. They don't belong to the Muslim Student Association.
And they're supposed to be an organization that shows both sides. The universities are supposed to teach people how to think. What they're doing today is they're teaching people what to think. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. They're not teaching it. This is not an open forum at the university. Our talk there is not heard by the professors over there. They do not teach the things that we talk about. There's only one opinion, and that is the professors, the extreme liberal professors. You know, so this has been going on for a while. The idea is to take next generation Americans and win them to the wrong side.
Yeah.
Once this happens, America is over.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if things continue the way they've been going in about 5 to 10 years, although there'll still be a country called the United States of America, I don't think it'll be the same United States of America. But, sir, I want to tell you what an honor it is. I've been following your career from a distance on other radio shows for the longest time. I think you are just about the bravest person that I know of. And before we even start the interview, I want to tell you what an honor it is to have you on my program.
Thank you, my friend. You know, terrorism is, I define it by one word, fear. And the only way we can fight fear is by fearlessness. We cannot fight fear by fear. It has to be the absolute extreme opposite of the term fear. And that is fearlessness, no matter what it takes. We got to stand still. We got to fight back.
And you have death threats on your life for your message all the time, don't you?
We don't care about the death threats. Death threats galore. If we focus on the death, you know, I asked my son that question. I said to him, some people ask me that question, are you not afraid for your life? He thought about the question for minutes, and he came back, and he says, Father, tell him this. Tell him we each have a choice. We can either die for something, or we can die of something. So take your choice right now. Something or die of something. I hope I die of something one day.
Well, you know, it would be an honor for us to die with our boots on. I don't know that I want to be 90 years old and dragged around to the convalescent homes. You have such an important message, and I pray for the safety of people like you every day. But at the same time, I admire the fact that you are willing to say what's true. Why don't you tell them a little bit about your background, Waleed? You come out of a Palestinian or / Jordanian background. Why don't you tell people your story a little bit? I'd like our audience to hear it.
I come from an American mother and a Palestinian father. Of course, he was Jordanian. There was no such thing as Palestinian.
Now, that is interesting. Isn't it true that if you went back to the early part of the 20th century, isn't it true that the term Palestinian was used of Jews that were coming into the land? And wasn't it after the Six-Day War, when previously the Arabs there were either called Arabs or Jordanians, that it was almost a PR ploy to act
absolutely.
Like...
Absolutely. I recall when I was in the youth. We saluted King Hussein. My father had a Jordanian passport. We were proud Jordanians. Nobody ever said that they were Palestinian. And all of a sudden, the Six-Day War erupted. We lost the war. As a result, now we became Palestinians overnight. So you will not, even the Palestinian chart itself never claimed Judea, the biblical land of Judea, as part of this greater Palestine. Simply they wanted to establish a state in Israel proper, but not in Judea, because that belonged to King Hussein, according to them. It was Jordan. Only when the Jews reclaimed it, it became Palestine. So this says volumes, because it says that we will never accept Jews to rule over Palestinian Arabs or over Muslims. That's the whole idea.
And it seems like a lot of people are unaware that back in 1948, we always hear, well, if there would just be a separate Palestinian state, there would be peace. But the Jews agreed to have a separate Palestinian state, even though they were calling it a separate Arab state at the time. And the Arabs who lived there, most of them would have nothing to do with it. And then the surrounding nations, such as Egypt, were telling them, get out of the way or join us because we're coming through to annihilate Israel. And the idea was to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and a lot of the Arabs fled to get out of the way or joined the army. And isn't that how they got displaced from the land?
Exactly. And they don't kill us, because the Arabs and the Islamists still destroy Israel by far. This has never changed. And Oz, Palestinian state, and this way it has to be. Well, they tried to implement Oslo, and look what happened. More war, more death, more mayhem, no peace whatsoever.
It seems that every time a deal is made, that then there's another act of terrorism the very next day.
Yes, it creates more terrorism. The second thing that Americans do not understand is the term Hudna, H-U-D-N-A. Americans now are well aware of the word jihad, but they are not aware of Hudna. Hudna is a ceasefire that is allowed in Islamic theology in order to regain strength and to gain concessions. Yasser Arafat, when he signed Oslo, he called it Hudna. It's Oslo-Hudna Accord. Hudna is a 10-year term that is carried out with non-Muslim entities, but it must never reach to term, which means before the 10 years are over, you must either destroy the enemy or convert them to Islam.
It sounds like the way you're defining the word Hudna, it's very much like the word we use in America for hoodwinked. It sounds like it's kind of a scam.
I like that.
Hudna leads to hoodwinked. Well, remember, folks, you heard it on this radio show first. Well, but you're absolutely right, because what I've noticed is when Israel's making a peace treaty with any of the Arab nations, Israel always has to give back land, and all they are offered in exchange is that people will stop trying to kill them, and then they always go back on that word anyway.
It's amazing that the losing party is offering Israel total surrender.
Okay, stay on the line, my friend. Wally Chubot, our very honored guest. It is an honor to have him. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. If you'd like to call in and ask Wally a question, 1-888-344-1170.
Well, these days you need a website. And if you don't have one, you'll be like my friend Arnold, who finally switched from a manual to an electric typewriter when everyone else already had a personal computer. And the day I tried to talk him into a website, just listen in.
Forget it. Too expensive.
Then how are you going to market your company? People need information.
There's still a device called a telephone.
Telephone? You're talking like Fred Flintstone. How are they going to see your logo, your graphics and pictures, your store?
There's a lovely brochure that we send out.
Have you any idea how much money you spend every year to print these brochures?
Yeah, right. How about the cost of having a website hosted? Not to mention the time, the complicated software, the hiring of a designer.
All of those difficulties are removed when you use Web Studio.
That name sounds familiar.
Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without hiring a designer. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text. Then it saves the pages for you on the internet. The program includes 14 design galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need.
I didn't know it could be so easy and quick. Maybe it is time for me to step into the 20th century.
Arnold, it's the 21st century. For information on Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
What people say to me all the time when we're discussing the resurrection is that if it were really a fact of history, some ancient historian, a contemporary of the apostles, who was not a Christian, would have talked about it. Well, that's what we have in Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian. We know for a fact he was not a Christian. And he says very matter-of-factly that Jesus rose from the dead. Here's how people respond to that. Oh, yeah, well, but Josephus doesn't count. We know that the Jesus passage in Josephus is corrupted, probably placed there by some Christian editor years after Josephus died. Oh, we know this for a fact, do we, I say. Tell me exactly how do we know it for a fact. Because Josephus wasn't a Christian. Only a Christian would have claimed Christ rose from the dead. But friend, you just asked for a non-Christian historian. This is called having your cake and eating it too. This is called circular reasoning. And this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our guest today is Wally Chubot. Wally Chubot was born in the Middle East and has lived in America and the Middle East, born of a Christian mother and a Muslim father. And Wally, you actually did become a terrorist and renounce it at one point. Isn't that true?
That is true. I was part of the PLO apparatus here in America, and then later on joined the Muslim Brotherhood. And in 93, I began to read the biblical text seriously for the real first time.
Now, what caused you to show an interest in reading the biblical text?
Well, I wanted to prove that the Bible was corrupted and it had all these corruptions by the Judeo-Christian world, because as Muslims, all Muslims by far believe that the Bible was changed. So either it's been changed, the New Testament was changed by the Christians, and the Old Testament was changed by the Jews. That's what most Muslims believe.
Yeah, a lot of people are unaware that the Quran actually does say the Bible is the Word of God, but then it'll also say that the Bible was corrupted in places, and we kind of need the Quran to interpret it correctly.
Right. Actually, the Quran does not say the Bible was corrupted. You know, there is a verse, وَيُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ, which means they change the word from its context.
Right, where they said people of the book, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it doesn't say that the text itself is corrupted, nowhere in the Quran. But that became a tradition later on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the Quran talks about Jesus, even acknowledges the virgin birth. They refer to the Old Testament as the Torah. The only thing it would actually deny is the deity of Jesus. But a lot of people are unaware that the Quran has such high things to say about the Bible. But you were studying the Bible to prove that it was corrupted, and you found something different instead.
Yes, I found a roadmap in the Bible regarding the time specifically that we live in. Because if we look at the elements that want to destroy Israel, you know, specifically Psalm chapter 83, which talks about the nations coming against Israel, names them one by one, the Ishmaelites, the Hagarites, being the Arabs or the Assyria, being Syria, Iraq, all these countries coming against Israel in a unity, in a confederacy of nations. And then the outcome of this battle is the victory of Israel. That astonished me. And then you look at the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 15, and I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled out of that land. That astonished me, because it says that no way can anybody pull Israel out this time. This is not speaking of history. This is speaking of the times that we live in.
Now, that's fascinating. Now, being that you were looking at Old Testament passages, just out of curiosity, as Christians, you and I believe that the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same God. But since these passages were in the Old Testament, why did that not lead you to become an Orthodox Jew? What was it about Christianity specifically that piqued your interest?
Well, I wasn't as interested in the New Testament because, as I said, the New Testament was written after the fact of Jesus.
Right.
I want something before the fact.
Before the fact.
Before the fact. So when I reached to Zechariah chapters 12 and 14, it talks about Jerusalem being a trembling cup to all surrounding nations. Then it talks about this battle that will commence.
Mm-hmm.
Then it talks about God himself fighting the battle.
Right, and God's feet touching the Mount of Olives.
It says, and then that day his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. His feet. I began to ask myself a question. When did God have feet? This is Jewish. This is not Christian. This is Jewish Old Testament. So I was very, very convicted with this word feet and all these things that I've seen all over the place, including the triunity of God. You know, everything was there in the Old Testament.
Even that, a very fascinating part of Zechariah 14 is when it says the people will look and mourn over him whom they pierced. It's almost like, wow, he was here once before, but now he came to deliver us. Isn't it true that Jesus is going to do the second time what the people of Israel had thought he would do the first time he came?
That's right. Yes, Israel failed to recognize the fact that he was the Messiah. But again, also, the church now is failing to recognize much of Jesus' role when he comes the second time. That he comes the second time to rescue Israel and to fight against the Antichrist. And that whoever stands with the Antichrist really is blaspheming God. So in this case, I began to realize that to say that the land does not belong to Israel is blasphemy. Because blasphemy is to deny the very elements that God proclaimed. If you deny God's proclamations, you're denying God's right to proclaim whatever he wants. That's blasphemous. So we cannot say this as Christians, that we can give Jerusalem to the Arabs to have peace. You know, the Antichrist, the evil, wants to destroy and separate Israel and divide that land and divide Jerusalem.
Okay, now this is fairly interesting, Wally, because we have a mixed audience that follows this show. We certainly have some Christians listening who would agree with you and I about the New Testament. We also have conservative Jews who listen to this program who would not believe in Jesus, but at the same time, there's kind of this alliance going on between evangelical Christians and Jews, but I know some Jews are suspicious because they think the only reason evangelical Christians want to help the Jews is because of the end times. In fact, I had a student ask me one time at a seminary, he said, I feel that because of Bible prophecy, I'm obligated to take Israel's side, but I feel bad for the plight of the poor Palestinians. Well, I believe in Bible prophecy, but what I said to this student is, even if you weren't reading Bible prophecy, if you just studied the way the Jews have been treated, even in the 20th century, and some of the historical revision that's gone on in the Middle East, wouldn't there be just human rights reasons to tell people to take the side of Israel, even if Bible prophecy weren't a part of it?
Absolutely. There's good reason to stand with Israel. To stand with Israel is to stand with the Arabs of Israel, okay? Because Israel is a good thing for the Arabs that live there. Many of them beginning to recognize this. They have now Hamas' stand. They had the PLO. They have seen that life is miserable under these entities. Now they're realizing under Israel it was much better life. It's the racism that the Palestinians uphold to. In fact, I asked all my family, in a family reunion. I asked them the question. I said, was life better for you under Israel or under the PA and Hamas? They said, well, under Israel, those were the good old days. So I asked them, I said, why don't you speak out? They said, you know, we will never accept Jews to rule over us. So I concluded the problem is racism. Palestinianism is racism. Palestine is not a state. Palestine has become a psychosis. It is a state of psychosis, a state of anger in which you see people in Ramallah carrying body parts, bodies being lynched and, you know, carried upside down and dragged in the streets of Bethlehem. My country has become the night of the living dead, literally, after Israel started to pull out of the territory. So, logically, creating a Palestinian state is not creating a mini America. It is creating a mini Iran. It is creating a mini Hezbollah. It is creating Hamasistan. It is creating Sudan, Somalia. It's become Somaliland. It has not become a viable state where people can live in peace, where they can express their opinions. Christians are moving by the droves. Every single holy place in that land has been desecrated by the Islamists. Every single holy place, including the Church of the Nativity, including Joseph's tomb.
Joseph's tomb, that's what I was thinking. Absolutely. And then isn't it true that over a year ago, they finally gave them back the Gaza Strip, and they started sending missiles out the very next day from the Gaza Strip?
Absolutely.
So they don't really want their own state. They just want more of an opportunity for terrorism. I'm sure there's some exceptions, but that would be true of the mentality of the high majority, wouldn't it?
Yes, they want the opportunity to get at Israel's Adam apple. So the Golan, they want to get closer from the Golan. They want to get closer from Lebanon. They want to get closer from what we call the West Bank, to get closer at Adam's apple. The Holocaust never ended. This is what I believe. The Holocaust never ended.
Well, a lot of people don't even realize that the Wahhabism movement of Islam was, it's not only that it's like the Nazis, it was influenced in the 1940s by real, honest-to-goodness Nazis from Germany. Isn't that true?
Yes, the Wahhabism. Islamism was hand-in-hand working with between Haj Amin Husseini and Hitler. The pogroms, the 850,000 Jews that had to be extradited from the Middle East, from the Muslim world. This is the part that people don't even pay attention to. What happened to the Jews in the Arab world? Very little is spoken about those. So there has been always this collaboration. And two divisions out of the Nazi war machine were Muslim fundamentalists. That's the part that Ahmadinejad doesn't mention when he talks about, or the university professors don't talk about. When did you hear university professors in America saying that Nazism collaborated with Islamism?
Or when do you hear them say that the Jews were kicked out of the Arab lands in 48 and they were taken into Israel, but the Arabs who fled Israel were not taken in by the Arab states, with the exception of Jordan taking a few of them?
Yes, well, Syria had some refugees, Lebanon had some refugees, but they created the refugee problem. Who created it? It was the Arabs. They kept them in squally condition to keep them as a sore eye.
Right. They didn't take them into their nation. They kept them in camps for the most part, right?
Absolutely. Kept them in camps, kept them in poverty, no medical attention, no medical help, they just kept them this way in purpose, whether it's Sabra Shatila, whether it's in Jordan. That was what caused Black September in Jordan, and later on in Lebanon, more chaos. They remain in a squally condition, yet Israel absorbed all its refugees, 850,000 Arab refugees who are Jewish. And nobody is calling for their rights to get their bank accounts, their lands, their property, their homes, nothing. Everything is gone. The Arab Jews are not screaming for their land. So this is why my solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is very simple. No one has a right of return. The Arabs who left Israel have no right to return, and the Jews who left the Arab world have no right of return.
I think that's very wise of you.
It should eliminate a problem whatsoever. Say, hey, you know what? Jews also have no right of return. Is it unfair of me to say this? Absolutely. I am not being fair to the Jews. I'm being absolutely unfair. Who am I to say that the Jews have no right to go back to their homes in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Egypt? I have no right to say this, but I'm saying it because the Jews will accept it, but the Arabs will never accept it. The question is why.
Well, and of course, the Jews know that if they go back to Iraq, they're not going to get treated really well. And a lot of people think that to be an Israeli means to be a Jew. But as you put it, there are many Arabs, thousands upon thousands of Arabs, that are Israeli citizens. And don't they have more rights in Israel than they have in any Arab country?
1.2 million of them.
1.2 million.
Pray in their mosque. have a right to vote, have a right for freedom of speech, whatever they want to do. Yet Jews in the Palestinian areas are not allowed to survive or exist or to live. That's the difference.
It's quite a difference.
That's the difference between the Judeo-Christian faith and the Islamic faith. That's the problem. That's the crux of the matter. It is between a God that says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and a God that says, present your bodies as a dead sacrifice.
Okay,
that's
my friend.
That's how I began to know the truth.
Yeah, hang on the phone with me. Our special guest today, Waleed Shubat, will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric. I'd like to remind everybody to listen to our sister program on our sister station. My good friend George Runyon, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, hosts City Voice on KPRZ 1210 on the dial. But right now, we're here with Waleed Shubat. Waleed Shubat was raised in the Middle East, was once a terrorist, has converted to Christianity, and now has a message for our country. Waleed, welcome back to our program.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and now, isn't it true, we were talking about the Arabs who live in Israel, isn't it true that during one of the times, shortly before Yasser Arafat died, when they were talking again about the two-state solution, that some of the Israeli officials talked to Arabs on the cabinet and said, well, are you going to want to go live in the Palestine sector once you become a separate state? And they said, are you out of your mind? Why would we leave Israel to go live over there?
Absolutely true story. You know, I think Sharon even talked about it. You know, wouldn't it be time for you guys to go live the other side? Not one of them. As a matter of fact, I've always argued and asked the question, when Israel gave the choice to the Jerusalem Arabs, a choice between an Israeli passport and a Jordanian passport, not one wanted a Jordanian passport. Everybody wanted an Israeli passport.
We would think
everybody
that would speak volumes. Yeah.
Everybody wanted a passport of the tyrant, of the occupier, of the one who humiliated Palestinians. Everybody wanted their passport. Why? If Israel was so bad, why? Over 20-some universities Israel built for the Palestinians. If Israel was so bad, why Palestinian diplomats don't want their passport?
Yeah, there's just been so much historical revision, and a lot of people don't realize that in the 1948 war, the goal of the Arabs was not a separate Palestinian state. The goal of the Arabs was the annihilation of Israel. They said they were going to push every Jewish man, woman, and child into the sea, and that's why that war was fought. There was
exactly
nothing about refugees.
Exactly, but what we need to recognize is it worse than that.
Now Waleed, we're having a little trouble hearing you on your cell phone. Maybe you could find one spot and stay there. We were hearing you great in the last break, but you're kind of cutting in and out right now.
I'm sorry. Is that clear now?
It sounds much better now. So wherever you are, hold on to that tree or pole or whatever it is, and we're getting good reception right now. Good.
About that.
No problem at all. That's the nature of cell phones. It's not your fault.
Now they're using religious edicts. Now they're using Islamic eschatological teachings that the day of judgment has come soon to destroy the Jews, for the trees and the stones will cry out. They're using secular reasoning. They're using very religious reasoning to destroy Israel. That's a much bigger problem than before.
Yeah, and it has absolutely nothing to do with land. If we had a Palestinian state tomorrow, even if we gave half of Israel to Palestine, wouldn't people still be pushing for the entire destruction of Israel?
Well, this is the evidence of every single element from the educational sector, political sector, historical sector. Everything, what you look in the Middle East, they still show the full map of Palestine, no Israel whatsoever. It's completely wiped out.
Well, and there's historical revision today. We hear that the Palestinians are this indigenous culture dating back to ancient times. There are even encyclopedias in America now that are teaching that that are being written by Muslims who come over here and teach at our universities that the Jews didn't even have any ancient claim to the land at all. And yet the word Palestine is really only as old as the Romans. It was a Latinized version of the word Philistine. And when the Romans destroyed Israel, didn't they rename the land Syria-Palestinia just to kind of rub it in the Jews' faces as a slang term?
Absolutely. And the claim that we were the original Philistines and we were the original Canaanites, you could see Faisal Husseini making these claims. We were the Jebusites and all these things. How is that possible? If we are Arabs, we are of a Semitic origin. How can we be of the Canaanites at this case? The Canaanites, Hamite origin, the Hamitic origin.
Yeah.
How could we be Hamitic?
You're starting to break up again, Waleed.
Yeah, I mean, my argument is how could we be Hamitic and Semite at the same time? Because the Canaanites, Man was the son of Ham. That doesn't make any sense. So this argument that we were the original flaw.
Waleed, we're hearing you only every other word. Could you go back to wherever you were standing before with your cell phone?
Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah, I know. When I talk on my cell phone, I tend to pace up and down too. But go ahead and continue now.
I was saying that no serious historian will accept the Palestinian claim that we were the original Canaanites.
That's true,
because
and yet we have
Canaan was the son of Ham.
Okay, we're having real trouble hearing Waleed. We're going to go to a break and see if we can get this working a little bit better. Our guest, Waleed Shubat, not an ex-Palestinian, but a Palestinian who's an ex-terrorist who converted to Christianity with a very important message. We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home, or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, when people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt. For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
This is Bob Segal here to tell you that sometimes in life, the obvious is obvious. I was taking questions at an outdoor open forum at the university, and somebody asked me the question, why is it that ministers are a career? Why do people get money for talking about God? I said to him, the assumption behind your question is that talking about God is not a real thing. If there really is a God and there really is a way to be saved, then what could be more important? There are all kinds of professions that are people-oriented, doctors, lawyers, counselors, psychologists. We just assume that these people are there to help others. We generally assume that they're not in it for the money. Do you know what the difference is between a minister and these other professions? The other professions charge a fee. The minister takes a donation, and if you don't have one, doesn't insist on it. This might be something that we need to really reevaluate, folks. This is Bob Segal, just making the obvious obvious. Welcome back to the Bob Segal Show. We have our guest Waleed Shubat on cell phone. We usually try to get our guests on a landline because cell phones are so unpredictable. I don't know what all of you are paying your cell phone companies, but you got to believe me, it's too much. But Waleed, welcome back to our program.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's not your fault. We're blaming Verizon or whoever your server is.
But my fault. I should have been by a landline.
Oh, no problem. But right now, we hear you perfectly. So just put cement on your shoes and nail something into your shoes and stay right there, my friend. But hey, and we'll have you on again, too, if you'll come, because you are an important guest. And I think people need to hear your message. Well, we've been talking about Israel. I just want to dispel one more myth, and then I'd like to move on to the message that you have for Americans, because I believe in America we're really in as much danger as Israel. Isn't it true that when the League of Nations promised the Jews a homeland, behind their back, 75% of what had been promised to the Jews was given to the Arabs, and that was actually how the state of Jordan was created? So in a sense, we've really had a separate Arab state, 75% of which is called Jordan, for quite some time now?
Absolutely. And from the beginning, the League of Nations, all the way down, everything started diminishing little by little. The whole, if you look at the map, the whole cannon looks like a cannon. The whole thing was part of Israel. And then it was annexed, and then King Hussein annexed Judea, and then Israel accepted a little slither. So no matter what Israel was offered, they have accepted. No matter what the Palestinians are offered, they have never accepted. The only thing the Palestinians want is a total surrender of Israel, and then the annihilation. This time it's not a victory regarding treating the Jews as a second-class citizen. This victory that the Islamists want is to destroy all the Jewish men and take the Jewish women as exactly as predicted by the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, so this is very important because it means that A, there is no illegal occupation in Palestine from Israel, and B, the agenda of the Arabs is to wipe out Israel. I don't think most Americans...
Not wipe out Israel, but annihilate every Jew.
Annihilate every Jew in the world.
Not geographic annihilation.
Yeah.
But physical, literal annihilation of every Jew.
Of every Jew. And then when they're done with the Jews, wouldn't they come after Christians and Gentiles and anybody who doesn't convert to Islam ultimately?
Absolutely. The Palestinians demonstrate all the time, saying the Saturday people first, the Sunday people next.
Saturday people meaning the Jews because of the Sabbath, Jews. Sunday people meaning the Christians because of the...
The Christians, yes. Yeah. And they pray in front of the Church of the Nativity, telling the Christians that this is going to be converted to a mosque. The Christians are being persecuted. They're moving by the droves from the Palestinian areas. Yet the Christians in Israel proper are still the same. Nothing changed.
Okay, so Wally, there are people listening right now, and they're going, we don't hear this on the universities. We don't hear this on CNN or CBS or ABC. We sure as heck don't read about it in the New York Times. Why is that? This is a threat to America. Why are Americans shooting themselves in the foot? What is going on?
Well, it's for the same reasons. Let's assume I was in the 1930s and 40s, and I was talking about the annihilation of the Jews in Nazi Germany. Nobody will be concerned. Nobody will care a bit. The problem is that they don't care. It's not the problem of the media. If we care about our youth, we'll change our universities. I think it's apathy. We've reached a condition of apathy in the West. And whatever apathy existed in the West, Islamic fundamentalism was always ready to take over. Egypt was a Christian country. Syria, all these regions, Lebanon, these were Christian regions. They're gone now. Okay, why? Every time. Turkey was a Christian country. What happened? You know, every time the Christian world undermined its faith and its ethics, it was taken over by Islam.
So the faith and the ethics in America are being undermined today because we're kind of denying our Christian roots. We're viewing ourselves as a secular nation once again.
Right. We have to think of a cancer. You know, our body, if the immune system works real well, it can fight off and, you know, wait off cancer and disease. But the disease is there. It's always there, okay? Only when the body gets weak can a system or cancer or a disease take over the body. And that's what happens. So this cancer called Islamic fundamentalism, not only it will destroy itself, but it will destroy us in the process. And that's what we need to be afraid of. We need to be, you know, kind of be watchful of. That we need to isolate the cancer. The cancer is coming in via the students, immigration, and all these things. We see what happened in France. We see what happened in England. We see what's happening in many of the European societies, and we are not aware of it here, and we keep continuing on in the slippery slope.
Well, you know,
everything is hunky-dory.
Yeah, it seems, Wally, that the Bush doctrine is, and I think he means well. I think Mr. Bush is very sincere, but he seems to think that if we could just bring democracy to the Middle East, everything will be hunky-dory. But as you put it, the Muslims who live in democracies like Germany, like France, like Canada, are trying to overthrow them and bring about their Sharia law, which is dictatorial Muslim law.
Exactly. The only time the Muslims use democracy is for voting an election. And there's never been in the history of the Muslim world democracy. So what makes us think that if we introduce democracy in Iraq or in other countries, that we're going to have viable democratic elections? Hamas won. Okay, Palestinians had democratic elections.
Yeah, and they elected a terrorist cutthroat group, yeah.
Yeah, 73.2% wanted Hamas, from not just the Palestinian people, but from all over the Muslim world. If you took a poll, in fact, there was a poll done by Al Arabiya Network, in which 113,000 Muslims were asked, do you want Hamas or the PLO? Do you want Islamism or secularism? 73.2% chose Islamism, not secularism. These are the numbers that we need to be focusing at, not the Pew statistics in the West. We need Arabs asking Arabs what they think is the truth, not Western statistical analysis. So the fact is very clear. The majority, even in Pakistan, want Islamic fundamentalism.
So we're hearing all the time, Wally, that most Muslims here in America and most Muslims in the world are moderate, that the terrorists are a minority. But I'm hearing you say that that's not really true.
Absolutely not true. If I did a census of my community when I was Muslim during the Gulf War, I'd say 99% supported Saddam against America. Okay? I did not know anyone, a single person from my community, being Muslim, supported America and the war in the Gulf War. Okay, so my own experience tells me the facts. I know my people, I know my community. You know, in fact, one of us, Uno, converted to Christianity. Hundreds of people called and threatened him. There's only like two or three who called him and supported what he was doing. The rest hated him and threatened him. This was a guy by the name of Mr. Abdullah, who was with us before. So finally he got scared. He stopped even being active. So we know these numbers. We know if an American asks a Muslim a question versus an Arab asks a Muslim a question, you get two different answers. What you need to focus on is what the Islamic communities say in their language and not what they say.
So they'll say one thing in English and then they feel like if they didn't say it in Arabic, it doesn't count.
Right. And then the other thing we need to be aware of is that fighting terrorism is an action, a verb. You see groups like CARES, we condemn terrorism. That gives them the license to exist as a moderate Muslim entity. But yet, what is the action of CARE? They support terrorism openly, no problem.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to bring up CARE. I'm glad you brought that up because it seems when a representative from CARE comes on a TV or radio show, there's a quick disclaimer about renouncing violence, but they always throw in something about Israel and Palestine, and they either never condemn the Palestinian terrorism or they'll say something like the terrorism on both sides. And, of course, the Palestinian terrorism is they blow up a bus with old ladies and children. The Israeli terrorism is they might have gone and assassinated that one person that committed the terrorism. But they talk like there's this moral equivalency on both sides.
Exactly. It's moral equivalency. And I guess intent doesn't matter in this moral equivalency. And this is what I ask all the time. What is the intent of the Israeli when he bombs Lebanon? What is the intent of the American when he fights in Iraq and civilians died? What is the intent? Does intent count? But we live in a culture and in a world that intent doesn't matter anymore. We seem to be doing body count as evidence for mistreatment of civilians.
They're saying violence is violence. And you're saying it doesn't matter whether it's violence. You're saying it depends on what the intention is behind the violence.
Exactly. A police officer sometimes opens fires. Does a police officer commit violence? Absolutely he does. You know, he kills a drug pusher who opened fire on him. So, you know, you can't have peace without a peace. You know, you've got to have both. You know, sometimes peace can never be established without the establishment of force. You know, like what they accuse me of, Waleed promotes hate speech. Well, sure, I hate terrorism. Is that hate speech? Sure it is. Of course it's hate speech, but it's righteous speech. To hate terrorism is not hate speech per se. It is fighting the evil.
And it's such hypocrisy because people would say, oh, Waleed isn't being tolerant. But these universities that you go to speak at aren't always particularly tolerant of your point of view, are they?
Well, have everybody get cancer and have them be tolerant. Forget chemotherapy. Forget taking care of it. Let it spread out through your body. You should be tolerant towards cancer. After all, it's a small, just malignant tumor. That's all it is. That's the attitude that they want us to do.
Okay,
they
my friend.
To accept malignancy in our culture.
Absolutely.
We can never accept this malignancy. We have to fight it.
Such an important message. Hang with us over the break. We'll be right back with Waleed Shubat.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. My guest today is Waleed Shubat, an ex-terrorist from the Middle East who became a Christian, now preaches a message of love and Christianity, but also a very important message about warning. Waleed, isn't it true that the gospel not only wants to deliver people from the sin they commit, but the effects of sin and evil in the world? And that's part of your message, too. You're trying to warn us of this evil in the world that could take over our country, could take over other countries.
Yes, absolutely. The gospel is to fight death. It's a war against death, and it's a war for life. That's why Christ died on our behalf. He resurrected. He defeated death. And what the evil one wants to do is to promote death. This is why us Palestinians used to, you know, scream from our top of our lungs, you know, we love death more than our enemy loves life. You know, this is the maniacal ideology of Islam that says, kill yourself in order to establish your salvation. What it is, it's a message of salvation. And Muslims say, well, except somebody dying on our behalf. While Muslims say that, they forget that every time a terrorist dies and he spills his blood, in essence, he becomes an intercessor in front of Allah to gain forgiveness for 70 members of their family. And how can a sinner offer salvation? How can a sinner become an intercessor between God and man?
So is this part of the message you would share with a Muslim if you wanted to get this Muslim to consider Christianity?
In fact, I shared that at university. Muslims were laughing at me during my speech. As soon as I mentioned that, it says Islam does accept the idea of one man dying on the behalf of another when Muslims die in jihad. And none of them are smiling anymore because they know that. That's a fact of Islam, that the martyr can become an intercessor with God for 70 members of their family. So blood sacrifice is in Islam. It is not only in Christianity, it is in Islam. The difference is Christianity offers a sinless blood, the sacrifice of God himself. Islam offers the sacrifice of a sinner, and it is a sacrifice as the ancient used to offer the god of Molech by killing their own children to please the god of Molech. Nothing changed. The worship of Allah is very similar to the worship of the god of Molech in this case.
Well, what else would you want to say to some Muslims that might be listening to you right now? They might be driving along, and what else would you want to say to them?
That, you know, Muslims don't agree with us. It is okay for them to reject what we believe. It is okay for them to accuse of our Bible being corrupted. We don't get mad. We don't throw stones at them. We don't kill them or persecute them for denying the essence of what we believe. We welcome them in this country so they can continue on to say what they want to say. However, allow us also to say what we have to say. Allow us to disagree. Come to the truth. Now let's examine the truth. As Isaiah said, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. We have a God that wants to reason. For I am God, he says, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, foretelling the end from the beginning. That means this God, the God of the Bible, had proclaimed the end from the beginning. There is no God in history that has written any document like this. So he is a God of the future. Jump on the bandwagon with us towards the future. The kingdom will be established. There will be peace, finally, with the Prince of Peace. Only by the Prince of Peace can we reach peace.
Absolutely.
And I'm free to share my faith in this country now, which I want to preserve, to keep it this way.
So now what would you say to somebody listening who's not a Muslim, who feels that George Bush invented the Muslim terrorist threat? Do you have some words of warning for them right now?
George Bush invented the Muslim terrorist threat?
Well, that's one of the conspiracy theories. But just in general, anybody who doesn't think that militant Islam is a threat, who's living in America.
Let them go to Cairo or to Syria or to the Palestinian areas and stand on a bus stop and put a skull cap on their head and let me know how long they will live.
Well put. Really well. I loved what you said. I remember out at UC Irvine. By the way, I remember the first thing you did is you got up and you said you weren't a very good speaker, and you gave the best speech I ever heard. I'm not buying that for a minute. You were a fantastic speaker. But one of the things you said that I just loved, you were speaking to people in the audience who weren't Christians, and you said, I know we Christians sometimes give you a headache, but would you rather have a headache or would you rather have a religion that's going to cut your head right off?
Yes. That's exactly. This was an interview in England and with the BBC, and they said, you know, they started with this moral equivalency that Christians and Muslims are the same.
They're all the same.
All the
yeah.
Are the same. So I said, Christians give you a headache, but Muslim fundamentalists will whack the whole head right off.
Yeah, and it seems that the only examples they can give of the Christian violence, they always have to go back about 1,000 years to the Crusades or something like that. It's kind of like, well, Christians did the same thing 1,000 years ago, but. In modern times, Christianity has had a reformation. Judaism has had a reformation. We have not seen that reformation in Islam.
Well, it is. You see, what the reformation happened in the Christian world as a result of the birth of Zionism, because people began to go back to the Bible and see, well, wait a minute, Jewish people are going back to their land. That's what created the real evangelical revival. Okay, and that's what did it. When the Christians went back to their Bible, peace became a motivating factor, and peace grew. You see, it was because of Christendom not going back to the Bible. However, in Islamic world, it's different. They are going back to the Quran. They are going back to their holy writ. And what we get as a result is what? Violence and death. So it's the opposite. The more we dig deeper into our Christian faith or biblical faith, we will get peace. The more we dig into the Quranic faith and you know, the Islamic fundamental view as it was and adulterated from the time of Muhammad, then we have problems.
That's very well put. Wally, could you give out your website? Because we're coming down to our last couple of minutes. I want people to be able to get more information from you. Give out your website and the name of one of your books or two of your books.
My website is shoebat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T, just as you spell the word shoe and bat, like baseball bat, shoebat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com, and I have both books, Why I Left Jihad, my first one, and the second one is Why We Want to Kill You.
Now, Waleed, I'm working on getting a church here in San Diego to and we want to bring you out to San Diego and give you as big an audience as possible. Other people might be wondering what practical things they can do themselves, and what can we do to publicize you more? I know that you've traveled all over the world, but boy, I just feel that no matter how much you're traveling, I'd like to see your message get out even more. What can we do to help?
You have already done everything to help. You being in the media is what we need. We need more people like you that we can make a difference in the media. So we need to actually retake our media, you know, and that's what you're doing already. You know, be active.
Well, I hope to bring you to San Diego and just fill out a stadium-sized group of people if we possibly can. Now, you had an audience in Washington once as well. How did that go?
Very well.
Now, who were you? Was it the Senate, the Congress?
We do well. It doesn't matter. If they stop us from speaking, we do well as well. You know, in Princeton, they didn't allow us to speak at the university campus. The media invited us, and we spoke to 20 million people instead of 300 students.
Right, because so it makes media news when the university won't let you talk. Isn't that ghastly that a university of all places would not? These are like the 1930s universities under Hitler.
Yes, exactly. Exactly what we see. Same thing. Just this is what I like to tell Americans. Imagine if you were there before the Holocaust, knowing what we know now. What would you do differently? You would try to save 100 more and 100 more and 100 more. That's what we ought to behave like, you know. So we know there is an attempt now to destroy that state of Israel. Ahmadinejad made it clear. All the Islamists make it clear. They want to destroy that state of Israel.
Ahmadinejad is our modern-day Hitler, and he claimed the Holocaust never happened. But isn't it interesting, Waleed, that those who on one hand claim the Holocaust never happened also talk like they don't think the Holocaust would be a real bad idea? You kind of hear both things from them.
Exactly. The Holocaust deniers or Holocaust supporters don't think anything else. That is the fact. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, as Martin Luther King Jr. stated it very well. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. This is why you see the Muslim Student Association. They say, yes for Judaism, no to Zionism. And then you see other demonstrations, they say, Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud, Jaishu Muhammad, Safa Yahud. Jews, remember Khaybar, when Muhammad killed you. We are coming back to finish the job. That's what they say.
Yeah, they claim it's not all Jews, it's just Israel. But then how do we explain Muslims in Germany and France burning down the synagogues of people in those countries that don't have anything to do with Israel? It's,
yes.
And, you know, my... My niece.
Say Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud. They don't say Khaybar, Khaybar, O Zionist.
Yeah.
Say Khaybar, O Jews,
it's
not
the Jews.
Zionist. Jews, period.
Anti-Semitism is an age-long mystery. Do you think there's something spiritual behind anti-Semitism? You know, the Bible says we're at war with demonic powers. Do you think it's just demonic, this war that we've seen against the Jews for the last 2,000 years?
The evil one knows his time is short. He knows that when the Messiah comes, and he will come, when he comes, they will cry out for him. Eliminating Israel eliminates the process of the Messianic era.
And that's what it is. It's such an irony because America up to now has been such a haven for Jews. And I've spent a lot of time on campuses. Prior to 9/11, I was not seeing any anti-Semitism on campus. There was kind of a hostility toward Christianity. After 9/11, after they went and slammed buildings into our planes and killed 3,000 people, Islam became the politically correct religion. And my niece was going to the University of Colorado at Boulder. There were swastikas out there. When she went and complained to the administration about the swastikas, they said we have to protect free speech. But when Word Churchill says that the victims on 9/11 were Nazis, you know, they don't have any problem with that kind of speech.
Well, we live in very strange times.
We sure do.
I think the ones who will endure and will stand and continue to fight, I think in the end we will see that, the world will see that we were right.
Wally Chubut, we've got to go. Thank you so much for coming on our program. We hope you'll come on again, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
Is your child